May, we're going to start a new sermon series. And, you know, we are just dwelling on the cross because I think sometimes we can easily forget why we are here, why we believe what we believe, why do we need to embrace the journey of going towards God, of walking with God, and focusing on the cross reminds us that actually we have a better message, we have a bigger message, we have a message that when fully embraced changes a life, and that's the message that changes our lives. And today we're going to be looking at the theme, the cross reveals, the cross reveals, and we'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. Ephesians 2, verses 13 to 16. If you can, would you please stand as we read this passage together? Ephesians 2. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people, when in His own body on the cross, He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new person from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. We thank You, God, because everything else that does not reflect You dies, and You stand alone, lifted high above all things. So may Your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Feel free to have a seat. The cross is an invitation for us to get close to God, but also the cross is an invitation for us to have a relationship with one another. Because once you believe in Jesus, then you belong to a bigger family, the family of God, and you are made new, and you belong to this family. But the cross, when we look at the cross, we see that there are certain things that the cross tended to expose. The cross reviews these things. And from this passage, number one, the cross reveals the gravity of our sin. The cross exposes the gravity of our sin. Verse 13 says, but now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. And when you come face to face with the cross will expose the gravity of the sin, because the cross is where God comes to die. And your sin is so grave that it takes God to come and die. And die on the cross. The God is so serious about sin that He doesn't want to just overlook it. He's so serious about sin that sin affects God so much that He sends His Son to die for us. So the cross will expose the darkest parts of our hearts. Verse 13 there says, once you were far away from God, sin takes you far away from God. Sin builds a wall between you and God. There is enmity between you and God, and it takes you away from God. And therefore, it takes God Himself to come to die a painful death so that He can bring you closer to Him. He can bring you closer to Him. And you don't know how far away from God you are until you come face to face with the cross. Because the cross will expose the darkest parts of your heart. We expose that. But sin is so horrible that takes a God to die. Because you and I, when we come face to face with the cross we expose that we're actually prone to disbelief. We are prone to disobedience. We are prone to manipulation. We are prone to selfishness. We are prone to abusive behaviors. We are prone to sin. And it takes a God to come in to rescue us. When you face the cross, it's going to expose how messed up you are. It's going to expose that you are messed up, and it takes a God to die on the cross for your messes. Not only does the cross expose how messed up you are, but also the cross exposes how messed up our systems are. That our systems are so messed up because they tend to favor the rich and those that are in power and the corrupt, and leaves the innocent in jail. Our systems can be so messed up that they destroy the poor. Our systems can be so messed up that they destroy the vulnerable. Our systems can be so messed up that they tend to lean more towards violence than peace. And it was actually a system, a religious system, that put Christ on the cross. You know, Jesus Christ actually was tried in a court of law. You would think, like, he's innocent. Okay, yeah, let's take him into a court of law. He'll be proven not guilty. But actually, he gets in there, and through a corrupt system that was set, sends him to the cross. An innocent man, a God, dies on the cross. And that's one way of exposing that our systems without God, they are messed up. Our systems without God, they are so dark. So dark. They're so messed up. And God, through the cross, exposes that. Our broken systems will be exposed when they come face to face with God. How broken can a system be that it kills a God? That God dies through that system. So the cross will expose the darkest parts of our hearts. It will expose our broken systems. The cross reveals the gravity of our sin. But number two, what we see here is that the cross reveals the grace of God. The cross reveals the grace of God. Verse 15 says, he did this by ending the system of law with his commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new person from the two groups. The cross exposes the gravity of our sin, but at the same time, it exposes how beautiful God's grace is, that it puts God's grace on display. This is why Paul here says, it ends the old system of rules, regulations, and commandments of law. It ends it and says now there's a new system in place, and that's the system of grace. And you see that on the cross, because the cross puts God's grace on display. It puts how beautiful God's grace is on display. So therefore, you no longer have to live as though you're under the law. You no longer have to live as though you're under regulations and commandments. Now you are under something better, something beautiful, and that's His grace. So therefore, stop wanting to buy your own salvation. Stop wanting to earn your own salvation, because you're no longer under the old system. Stop living as though salvation depends on you, as though you can save yourself. Because on the cross, Christ says, it is finished. I have done it for you. I have done it for you. There's so much grace for you. There's so much grace for you. And our temptations are to live as though, you know, salvation depends on us. And even if when we believe that, hey, I've been saved by grace, even if we say I've been saved by grace, but our actions can tend to communicate that we are not saved by grace. But we have to embrace that we are no longer under the law, regulations, and commandments. We are now under the grace of God. And we see that through the cross. On the cross, the beauty of God is seen more clearly. On the cross, the grace of God is on display. On the cross, God's compassion, God's forgiveness comes alive, and we see it. So when you look at the cross, you see how ugly your sin is, but at the same time, you see how beautiful God's grace is for you. When you look at the cross, you see how wretched you are, but at the same time, you see how compassionate God is, that God loves you so much that He dies for you. That God loves you so much that he doesn't want to just leave you the way you are. He comes in and says, I want to bring you closer. I want you to have a relationship with me. I want you to have a connection with me. The enmity that was there between us and God gets broken on the cross. And when we believe in Him, we get to experience that fully. We get to experience that grace fully. So the cross exposes the darkest parts of our hearts, but also exposes the grace of God. And number three, the cross reveals the power of God. The cross reveals the power of God. Verse 14 says, for Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. When in His own body on the cross, He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. God's power is shown through the cross, that he breaks the wall that was standing between us and God. That's broken. God's power on full display. That the hostility we had with each other, that's broken and put to death because of the cross. The cross was something that was used to bring death. And God uses it to bring life. Something that was used to bring death, God uses it to bring life. That when we believe in God, we will experience life to the fullest. Life to the fullest. And that's not just life for one person, but life for many. Not only just life for one person, but life for everyone who believes in him. So therefore, God's power is revealed through the cross. Through the cross, he conquers death. Through the cross, God conquers sin. Jesus conquers our greatest enemy, and that's death and sin. And he conquers that. Therefore, he brings us peace. He brings peace to those who had no peace with God. He brings peace to those who had no peace with one another. He brings peace to those who had no peace, even in themselves. Because that's what sin is. Sin does. Sin does disturb our peace. And Christ comes in and he gives us peace. Peace which remains. Through the cross, the power of God is on full display. And we see it coming through to rescue us. To bring us to life. And we see eventually Jesus Christ dies. And now on Sunday morning, resurrection comes, happens. That ultimately we see God's power in resurrection. We see it come through in a risen Jesus. Now resurrection says a statement. Resurrection says in the end, everything touched by God will be complete and beautiful. In the end, everything touched by God will be complete and beautiful. Yes, Jesus Christ was bruised. Yes, Jesus Christ died a painful death. But in the end, he comes out victorious and glorious. In the end, everything touched by God will be complete and beautiful. Whatever is happening with you, any sin that you can mourn right now, anything else that's a hardship, anything else that's bringing suffering in your life, if you can mourn something, a pain you're going through, everything else touched by God is going to come to completion. And in the end, you're going to live a victorious and glorious life. Resurrection says a statement. Resurrection says, your scars are not the end of you, but a testimony of God's work in you. Your scars are not the end of you, but a testimony of God's work in you. There's a story in the Bible when Jesus Christ rises from the dead and then he appears to his disciples. And there was one guy who was missing in that first encounter. His name was Thomas. And other disciples said, hey, we saw Jesus. He came to visit us. And he's like, I want to believe you, but I'm not sure until I see him. I want to see him and, I want to verify. He has scars in his hands. I can look on his side to really see that it's him. Now Christ shows up, and when Christ showed up, he invites Thomas to have a look, and Thomas goes and have a look and sees the scars on Jesus' hands and on his side, and he says, my Lord. He worships Jesus. Now, of course, Jesus Christ rebukes him for his doubt, not unbelief, but for his doubt. He rebukes him. But in that moment, such a powerful moment, that Christ rises from the dead, and he still had his scars on him. He still had his scars on him that those around him still recognized those scars and they knew where those scars came from. And one thing to marvel there is that through the wounds that Christ experienced, God did his work. That through the wounds that Christ experienced, God did his work in there, and he brings beauty out of these wounds. That the wounds you experienced was not the end of him, but they were going to be a testimony of what God will do through those wounds. Something else beautiful that God will do through them. Now, resurrection is so beautiful. And Christ offers that to us for us to experience resurrection life. every single day. Resurrection is awesome. But resurrection cannot be without death. Before resurrection comes death, and after death comes resurrection. To face death is so painful. And we see it in the story of our Lord Jesus. On that day, when he was in that Garden of Gethsemane, he was about to die, and he saw all his way through. And he prays three times, and he says to God, God, if it is your will, would you please let this cup pass? But then he says, not my will, but yours. God, if it is possible, let me not go through this. But he ends that prayer by saying, not my will, but your will. And Christ had to go through death so that on the third day, we can say he is the resurrected Lord. Death comes before resurrection, but after death comes resurrection. You cannot fully experience resurrection life if you're not willing to die. If you're not willing to die. There are things that God invites us to die to so that we can experience his life in him fully. If you're really going to follow God, if you really want to experience life in God, you've got to be willing to let certain things die in your life so that you can live for him, so that you can live to him. You cannot desire a new life in God at the same time not willing to let certain things die. So what things is God asking you to die in your life? What sinful habits has God been asking you to let them go? To let them go. What are the things that God is asking you? Are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to experience life fully in me? And if you're going to say yes to that, then let that thing die. Let it go. What is it? Now, when we let certain things go in our lives so that we experience life in God, that does not mean that we are going back to working for our salvation. That does not mean that, oh, we are now gaining our salvation. But actually what that means is you are saying to God, not my will, but yours. Not my will, but yours. This is living a surrendered life. Living a surrendered life involves you saying, not my will, but yours, God. Not my will, but yours, God. I want to experience your life. I want to experience your life, God, not my will, but yours. And that will require certain things to die so that you can experience resurrection life. So what's your response to this? I want to give you just two responses to this. Response number one is repentance. Repentance. Whenever the cross exposes something in your life that's out of line with the truth of God, out of line with God calls you to be, out of line, what you need to do is to repent. Repent. Now, repentance means a change of mind, a change of attitude, a change of action. You change. We actually have a beautiful word in Chichewa for repentance. It's called dembenuka. Dembenuka, which means turn, like 180 degrees. You turn. That's what it is. You change your mind. I was going this direction, but now I change my mind. I go the opposite direction. Change your attitude, change your action. Now, we like to say that, oh, people don't like to change. But I don't agree with that. I think we like change a lot more than we realize. Because we change clothes, we change shoes, we change a lot. We change a lot. And our problem is not that we don't change. I think to change towards things that are good for you often becomes a problem. It's not that we don't know. It's not even a lack of knowledge that you don't know that you need to change something in this area of your life. You do know. But we rarely change towards that which is good for us. And we know what's good for us. You know, some of us know that we should be sleeping 8 hours a day. Like, we know that. Yeah, that's good for you. Sleep is good for you, right? We know that. You know, maybe eat in a certain way, maybe pray, read scripture, you know the things that are good for you. Get connected to a community. You know all the stuff that are good for you. And it's not like your problem is knowledge. It's actually to commit to doing. You cannot know yourself into change. You have to do yourself into change. You have to do for you to experience the change. And are you willing? Are you willing to look to God who helps you to will and to act, to say, God, I surrender my life and I want to live my life in the way you're calling me to live. In fact, repentance is a way of agreeing with God. In repentance, you agree with God. In repentance, you say, God's ways are better than my ways. You agree with God that God's perspective is better than my perspective. He sees things better than I do. God's knowledge is better than me because God knows things better than I do. In repentance, you agree with God that God's ideas are better than mine. So when you repent, you say, God, I agree. I agree with your ways. I agree with your works. I agree with your ideas. I agree with your perspective. I agree. So therefore, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. That's what you do. When you repent, you agree with God. You say, God, yes, you are right. You are right. Are you willing to say that to God? To say, God, you're right. Therefore, I will follow you. I'll follow your way. So the first thing that you can do whenever the cross exposes something that's out of line in your life is to repent. The second thing that you can do is to embrace the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. Embrace the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. Romans 8, verse 11 says, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Essentially, what Paul is saying here is that the same Holy Spirit that rose Christ from the dead actually lives in you. Lives in you. He's alive in your life. In my life. He's alive in my life. If there's one thing that the Spirit of God does well, is to help us be more obedient to Jesus, to help us live a life that honors God, to help us live a life that follows Jesus. He helps us to follow Jesus better. That's what the Spirit of God does. So when you embrace the leadership of the Spirit of God, He's going to direct your passions and affections so that you're more in love with Jesus. You're more in love with God. What he calls you to be. When you embrace God's Spirit in your life, he's going to help you to live in a way that reflects Jesus more, in a way that honors God more. Because the Spirit of God is there to teach us through all truth. The Spirit of God is there to comfort us or to give us counsel, to move with us, to lead us into all truth. So when you embrace his leadership in your life, you will become more like Jesus. Amen. Just close your eyes for a minute before we pray. For some of you, you don't even need reminding of the things that God has been calling you to repent of, that you agree with him. For you to fully experience resurrection life, God has been exposing these things. God has been revealing these things in your life. And all you need to do is to say, God, yes, I let go. Not my will, but yours. Not my will, but yours. Are you willing to just offer a prayer to God now? Whatever God has been asking you to repent of, bring it in his presence. And embrace the gift of his Spirit for you. The gift of his Spirit for you. Spirit of God who comes in to lead you in all truth, to help you follow Jesus better. So for your prayer to God. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Yeah, God, we repent. We repent of our sin. God, we want to agree with you that your ways are better. Your perspective is better. Your ideas are better. Your knowledge is better because you know better than we do. You see better than we do. So God, help us. Help us to say yes, to agree with you, to say yes, you're right. And therefore, help us to follow you. Spirit of God, help us to follow Jesus. Help us to follow God, to live for him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you please stand as we worship God one more time before we do baptisms? Words are on the screen. Zone.